thanks to Linode for once again sponsoring Does Not Compute. Linode provides virtual private servers that you can spin up in under a minute. Their plans now start at just $10 a month for a server with 2 gigabytes of RAM, which is a killer deal. When you're spinning up a new server with Linode, you can choose your Linux distribution, amount of resources, and any of their 8 data centers for it to live in. All Linode servers run on native SSD storage and Intel E5 processors over a 40 gigabit network. Of course, you get full control, which means you can do things like run your own Git or VPN server, Docker containers, encrypted disks, and just about anything else you might want to do with a Linux box. Everything is billed hourly with a monthly cap on all plans. You should definitely check out Linode by visiting linode.com/doesnotcompute. If you sign up there using the promo code DOESNOTCOMPUTE2017, all one word, they'll give you $20 in account credit. That's enough to host your own 2 gigabyte server for 2 months, a pretty great trial period. Remember to check out linode.com/doesnotcompute today.
It's the first, it's Sunday, but I'm doing some other things on the side, things I've been needing to take care of, but it's the first time in, I think, 2.5 weeks I've been back at home on my iMac. Feels good.
It's always nice to get back to like your main computer.
Yeah, and I was getting along fine with my MacBook, like with all the Rails dev and stuff, but the iMac is so much faster.
Yeah.
It's just little things that I notice. Just the little things, it adds up over time. But yeah, it's been nice getting back in my office, getting back to my place, kind of in my familiar environment and being productive. Feels good.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like even I love the 12-inch MacBook. It's a great little travel computer. It's awesome, but it really isn't the same. Having that big workspace and having effectively unlimited computing power, at least for the tasks that I'm doing, effectively unlimited. It really is just, it's just a great way to be productive, at least for me.
Yeah. And I think it holds my attention better. It may be kind of dumb, but if I'm out and about like at a coffee shop with my MacBook, I'm seeing way more behind it, or way more around it because the screen is smaller. So my iMac is against the wall and I literally see nothing but what I'm working on. I'm not getting distracted by what's going on around me. And like I said, that's kind of like a little thing, but it's been nice. Having my dedicated, like if I'm in the office, I'm working, that helps psychologically too. So when I'm in the room, I just feel like I need to be productive when I'm in here versus, you know, if I were playing games on my computer or something, if I kind of conflated the uses for the room, I think that I would be a little bit less productive.
You know, a lot of people really like working at coffee shops. I don't know that I've ever, well, I don't drink coffee, first of all, so that probably doesn't help. But I don't know that I've ever gone to like a coffee shop or an airport lounge or anything like that, that people like to work at and actually gotten a lot done. I usually find it very distracting because it's like, oh, I'm in a new place. I want to know what this place is like. I want to see and experience the things around me. I don't want to sit there on my computer.
Right. So I do kind of enjoy working at coffee shops, but I don't think that I get as much done as I do when I'm here in my office. I like kind of changing locations, especially since I work from home. It's nice to go somewhere else every now and then. A lot of the time after a couple of days, I feel like I just need to go somewhere, right? Cabin fever-ish kind of. But I definitely know that I don't get as much work done when I'm at a coffee shop. So I don't know what it is. Like I said, it could just be meeting and distracted. I just tend to people watch a lot. And so I think that's what happens for me is I'll kind of get distracted. I'll start working on something and then I'll get distracted. And then pretty soon I forgot what I was doing. Incidentally, Paul, I actually bought the book called Deep Work. Actually, I got the audiobook version of it and I started listening to it and I thought that was pretty interesting. And that's why I've been kind of thinking about this stuff, is because I will listen to the audiobook. And if you're not familiar with the book Deep Work, it talks about how much distractions actually impede our ability to do mental, actually like tough mental work. And I look at my days and I think about what I do as a programmer, and a lot of it is not necessarily, most of it is not necessarily like really stressful, really kind of in-depth thinking. I tend to have periods where I do that, but more often than not, I'm implementing things that I've already thought about, right? So I don't think that distractions have that big of an impact on those days, but on days when I'm trying to solve a problem, I think that staying home, like when I know there's something that I'm not sure how to do, but I need to figure it out, staying home almost always allows me to solve that problem.
Yeah, I mean, this is a little bit weird for me because since I've been working at home, I've left the house like only a couple times in the last month. Honestly, I work very differently, I think, than you specifically, but most people just generally. Mm-hmm. I do agree, though, on the sometimes you have a lot of implementation to do. Sometimes you have a lot of like thinking to do. Like the other day, I spent most of the day just doing like sketches and stuff for how I might want to lay out some various pages. And it's weird because, and we kind of talked about this a little bit last episode, but because I'm having to do the design and also the development, doing the sketching also kind of helps me think through the data model sometimes. And vice versa. Thinking through the data model also helps me figure out how these things should be laid out. And so I think that's been a really interesting thing. And getting away from the computer and actually doing that with a pen and paper has been pretty useful for me, because I'm competent with Photoshop and stuff, but I'm not great with newer design tools like Sketch or Figma. I just haven't taken the time to learn them. They're both really awesome tools that people get a lot of stuff done with. It's just not something that the amount of time it takes to learn them has not been justifiable for what I do at this point.
Sure. I understand that.
So I've just been going away and sketching stuff. I already have everything laid out in my CSS. So if I sketch out all these little blocks on paper, I know exactly the classes I'm going to need to drop into my HTML in order to get this to show up how it looks on the page. So that's been kind of cool. It's a really lo-fi way to do things, but it kind of helps me focus on something that I'm not really skilled at doing, I guess, if that makes sense.
No, it makes total sense. And if you're sketching, you can only be distracted so much by a piece of paper. You know, there's not notifications you can turn all that stuff off, but I think when you're using a device like a computer where you're capable of doing many more things than just work, it's much easier to do all those other things, right? And another kind of point that made me think of is sometimes I watch the show Worst Cooks on Netflix because I think it's hilarious. But Chef Anne Burrell, she's the host of the show. She always talks about one of the first things she teaches these quote unquote worst cooks is, I think it's called mise en place. But basically she says, you know, before you start cooking, make sure you do all of your preparation. Make sure that you're cutting all of your vegetables up. Make sure that you're cutting the meat up or prepping the meat how it needs to. Make sure you have all your seasoning out. And while you're doing that, you know, focus on making sure that your cuts are consistent, you know, focus on the little technique things. And so when it comes to cooking, you can focus on actually using the tools that you have, like using the heat, using the different pans. You don't have to think about, okay, well, this is cooking now. Now I have to go over here and cut up all these vegetables, because that creates kind of a disconnect between the two activities, right? And I think that what you're doing in going away and sketching and jotting and writing away from the computer is kind of like that, right? You're doing lots of the thinking, and it separates you from the act of implementing, where, you know, cutting up vegetables is kind of an implementation, but it's different than cooking. But I think that when you separate the two like that, it makes you're able to focus on what you're doing much more, and you're not mixing up the two disciplines.
Man, that's something that I didn't learn until the last few years. But for the first couple of years of my programming, at least professionally, I was like, oh, I have to be writing a lot of code. I have to be working on this stuff and making, you know, getting a lot of lines of code down. And that's just the farthest thing from the truth. Most of what I do is not actually writing code. Most of what I do is thinking about how should the code I write look. And that winds up that it takes me way less time to write the code, and I also write way less lines just because I'm able to write it more efficiently because I've fully thought through the problems. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the most striking things for me about programming, is just that a lot of programming is not actually entering code into your text editor, which is probably part of why I'm still on Sublime.
Well, yeah. I mean, part of that too is that you're just really fast and you know it well, so it's not really worth the time for you to learn something else because you've lost a lot of productivity at that point. But I think you're right. A lot of it, you know, a lot of programming isn't necessarily just writing stuff. I think we've talked about that before too, and how important it is, how much more there is to programming than just writing and typing. And that's why I don't really want to get into that whole debate, like people talking about how important learning how to type is, learning how to like touch type properly and stuff like that, because yeah, that'll save you time. But I think that some people maybe place more importance on mechanical skills like that, touch typing, than learning how to actually do your planning up front, learning how to write your documentation up front, learning how to separate the thinking and the deep work from the implementation details.
That being said, I do agree with the sentiment there, but that being said, man, touch typing, whether or not you do it correctly, is a pretty invaluable skill. Like that is,
yeah,
that'll save you a lot of time and just mental strife, I feel like, because even when I'm writing, I can type almost as fast as I can properly think of things. So I feel like that kind of makes a big difference in just being able to get into a flow state with writing on the computer.
Well, it's kind of like if I'm going to bring this to another non-programming thing, but if you've ever heard of the band Periphery, they have a guitar player. His name is Misha, and he's a phenomenal guitar player. But if you watch any videos on YouTube, because he does a lot of instructional videos, he does a lot of teaching on how he writes music and stuff. But you look at his pick holding hand, and he holds the pick very strangely, different than probably 90% of the guitar players out there. And he got very good at using the pick that way. But there's a reason why the majority of other people hold a pick differently. And so even though he'd been, he plays guitar for a living, he's a phenomenal guitar player, he had to relearn how to use the pick because there were certain techniques and certain things that he couldn't do as well or as cleanly because he wasn't using the pick in the way that most people do. And it's kind of similar, like, you said, you can type as fast as you think. If there's a disconnect there, if you're having to hit backspace a lot, it could cause you to lose a thought. So yeah, it's interesting. I mean, there are merits to both, but I don't know. I guess it just all depends on where you're at and where you need to spend your focus. If you have your Mesoplast down, focus on your technical stuff. It's all a part of the journey, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, like literally everything we talk about on the show, it is just a balance.
It's just a balance, yeah. And I was talking to a friend of the show, Kevin, last night. I flew into Burlington and got dinner with him. And recently he started his first job as a junior developer, and we were just talking last night, and he's super excited. He's really loving the job. He's learning a lot. It's great. And he was talking about how he's spending a lot of time right now. He's always, he wakes up, he's thinking about it. He goes to sleep, he's thinking about it. And he's having a hard time being okay with not doing something that is seemingly putting work into what he does for a living. And it was just an interesting discussion because he was really excited about it, and I could tell, and that's awesome. But me being on the other side of this, like the other end, I could kind of see myself, that was me. That's been me many times, being enthusiastic and just not stopping. And it was kind of funny. So I just kind of let him talk for a while. And then I just encouraged him. I was like, yeah, you're going through a period right now where you're growing quickly. You're enjoying what you're doing. And that's amazing. You're lucky to have something like that. But I was just really quick to remind him, take breaks, force yourself to take breaks. That feeling where you feel guilty almost, like if you're not working, if you're not putting effort into something that might pay off in terms of being more productive or more skilled in your job, that feeling of being guilty about that, I don't think is a very good thing. And I think it's something that most of us programmers experience, but it's something that took me a long time to learn how to deal with. And in many ways, I'm still learning how to deal with that because I still get that feeling a lot. But it's important to be able to separate from that every now and then and spend time with family and spend time doing other things that energize you beyond things that are work related.
Yeah, I completely agree. But that being said, when somebody is in that position where they're like, where they are really excited genuinely to work on something pretty much all the time that they have, I mean, I think that's pretty cool personally.
Yeah, it is. Because it's hard to get that spark,
Yeah, you won't always have that around. So when you do have that feeling, personally, I like to try to utilize it, which is kind of part of why I end up working at like 5 a.m.
It's kind of like utilizing momentum. Once you have the momentum, ride it, let it carry you. But once you start feeling like you're pushing really hard and you don't have the momentum, take a break and do something else. And right now I think it's awesome because he's stoked and he's got that momentum. But that's something that I didn't ever want to do, is when I ran out of momentum and needed a break, I wouldn't take a break. I was stubborn and I just pushed the boulder up the hill.
I still struggle with that. I mean, we both do. I think everybody does.
Yeah, for sure. I think it was just interesting, like hearing him talk about it, and I was looking at him, and I saw myself,
right?
Which was strange because I don't think I've ever been in the seat where I was last night, where I was like, oh man, that's awesome. But also, I guess it just comes with the experience that I'm gaining now. But I don't know. It was interesting. It was a good conversation. It was really uplifting for both of us, I think. But yeah, I think the point that you made, where once you have that spark, let it pull you, let it energize you, and utilize that.
Right. I mean, and people will probably say, oh, well, but what about burnout? And the thing is, if you're excited about what you're working on, if you're like actively wanting to do that in your spare time, whatever that is, whether it's a side project or something else, you're not going to get burnt out doing something you're enjoying. It's when you keep trying to push yourself when you're not enjoying it that people get burnt out. And I think that's a pretty important difference.
Yeah. And what's interesting is that feeling that I described it as being guilty. It's weird because that feeling of like needing, like being obligated to put the work in, like pay your dues and stuff like that, that so many of us programmers feel, a lot of that is driven, you know, through imposter syndrome, like feeling like you need to work harder than everyone else around you because they know more. So it's interesting because when you have the momentum and when you're excited about it, that feeling is there, right? And then suddenly when you're kind of burnt out, you still have, a lot of us still have that guilty feeling. And that's why we continue to work through burnout, is because we feel like we're obligated to.
Well, and in some cases, depending on where a person is at, you know, what company a person is at and all that, they might actually be obligated to, which is an unfortunate thing that happens in the industry, but it definitely is a real thing.
That's true. I didn't even think about that before.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of companies where it's like they have just whatever cycle they're on and it doesn't account for anything actually human about it. It's kind of only the we need to ship features at this cadence because that's what has been decided.
Right. Yeah.
And I personally don't think that's a super healthy way, or even in a lot of cases a super effective way to approach engineering. But
yeah, I've noticed I've actually, you know, since I'm setting my own schedule now, I've noticed that I kind of do that to myself. You know, my coworkers say, hey, what do you think this thing will be done? And I'll give them a time where I know I could probably do it, but it's a stretch.
Yep.
I always do that. And I don't know why. I always do that.
Well, I mean, I think it's like we were saying, it's just that drive to want to always feel and be your most productive self. Because like, yeah. who doesn't want to say, I can have this done in a week, and then have it done in a week and be like, that was really tough, but I accomplished it. Now I feel good. I mean, that's a great feeling, but it is also like not always realistic. And it's not always healthy to push yourself in that way. I do that exact same thing all the time.
Yeah. And I know that in that case, I know that I can push myself. Not that I should, or not that I should have to. But what's interesting is that I used to do that with consulting work, and then I stopped. I started like the first period of time that would come into my mind, I would double it and I would sell that to James. And then he would probably go and add more time to it, knowing what he knew. But I've noticed that I don't do that. And so maybe it's just the newness of the job and the excitement of the work I'm doing. And, you know, I want to get this stuff done. I want to get this stuff out. And I want this thing to launch, obviously, sooner than later. So I'm more apt to push myself a little harder. I don't know. I guess it's just me thinking about burnout, me thinking about managing myself. Like now that I'm learning more about myself and my body and how to take care of it, it's just all coming to the surface, I think.
It's really funny that we're talking about this, because literally as we're having this conversation just a couple minutes ago, I was thinking like, okay, so what did I say I was trying to get done before our next status meeting at Nest Notes? Can I cram that in? Can I cram that in tonight, tomorrow night? I think I can do it.
Same with me. That's why I'm doing some stuff today, because it's a little bit different because I told Alejandro, shout out to Alejandro, he'll hear this. I told him I would have it done for him so he could test it on Monday, because they have a thing that's launching on Tuesday. And so I didn't do it on the plane yesterday because I slept instead. So now I'm doing it today. But it is interesting because I feel like we've talked a lot about this stuff before, but now I feel like it's on a different side of a coin almost. The motivations are different.
I don't know. I mean, we're both very, very new into this remote work thing that we're doing. And I feel like it's already pretty drastically changing a lot of my perspectives on not just on work, but on like how I work personally, and kind of helping me understand that a little bit deeper, which has been really cool. And I'm looking forward to hopefully learning more about that as this continues.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm learning a ton about myself, a lot about myself. It's a whole thing in... maybe we can talk about it. I don't know. I guess I'm learning more to be content with who I am, if that makes sense, right? So when I'm always busy working for other people, and it's like I'm by myself, but I'm not really with myself, if that makes sense. So now that I'm removed from everyone, I have to entertain myself. And it's different. Maybe that doesn't make sense. I don't know if people can relate to that, but...
I think I get what you're going for, but maybe you can.
I'm learning how to be okay actually being alone and not being busy at the same time.
I see. How are you learning that?
Forcing myself not, like, with the exception of what we just talked about, you know, having to do something this weekend. But before I had started doing CTO work, I was still working for Octopus. And so I was only working. I wasn't putting in extra time. I wasn't doing anything outside of work hours. And I wasn't working on any, like, I had some side projects going, but I took a break from those for a little bit. And you know, Jamie is, my girlfriend Jamie's busy doing law school work, and she's studying 60 hours of work, and she's always reading, and I don't want to bother her, you know, because it's important for her to be able to concentrate. So it's like, normally I would find some sort of project, side project, and hack on it. So I would be making myself busy with the computer, essentially. But I hadn't been doing that. And so it's interesting because after I quit playing music for a living, I stayed busy on the computer all the time. And then once I stopped doing that, I could pick up the guitar. And it wasn't like, okay, so even when I was in a band, when I pick up the guitar, I was picking it up for the purpose of being in a band and writing, because that's
right.
what I
it
had
was your
to
job.
Do.
Right.
It was my job. Yeah. And so now I'm doing this stuff, but it's not my job. It's interesting. I don't know.
You're relearning how to have hobbies, it sounds like.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Relearning how to have hobbies. And learning how to have hobbies outside of technology. And that includes playing PS4, because that's different. You know, sitting in front of something that's entertaining you is different than you entertaining yourself.
Today's episode of Does Not Compute was brought to you by Linode. They provide speedy SSD servers with your choice of Linux distribution starting at just $10 a month. If you visit linode.com/doesnotcompute and sign up using the promo code doesnotcompute2017, all one word, you'll get $20 in account credit to get you started.